Thanks for joining us here at Generation Church North Georgia, where our desire is to bring people of all generations into a fresh relationship with God. If your life has been impacted by our teaching and you would like to share your story, please visit us online at generationchurchnga.org, where you will find the Share Your Story link. There you can also find more information about our church and an archive of past sermons. Thanks again for joining us, and we pray you be encouraged by today's message.
Screen is. I got a word I believe the Lord has given me this morning. I hope I touch every one of you and come to every one of your houses by the time I get to where I'm going. Amen. But I looked and I thought, Lord, I preached on this. I thought I had, and I just looked and my mark is, by the Lord, this is so familiar, the passage of Scripture. But I'm going to read it in the NET version because it really brings a lot more meaning to it. And let me read it to you. This is Matthew, the 14th chapter, verses 22 to 32. And I'm reading it in the NET. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dispersed the crowds. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already far from land, was taking a beating from the waves because the wind was against it. The night was ending. Jesus came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to him, don't you love Peter? Peter said to him, "Lord, if it's you," I want you to listen to this word, "order me to come to you. Order me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid. And starting to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and called him, saying to him, "You have little faith." What did that say about the others in the boat? "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they had went up into the boat, the wind ceased. I'm going to show you some things about this story, I believe, that will change your perspective of this and what God wants to do in your life. I want to use for a thought, get out of your comfort zone. I could have entitled it, "Get out of your boat." There's just so many things, that so many places I want to go with this. But I pray at the end of this that God challenges you. There's so much that I've got to give in this that I believe that's going to speak to you at whatever place you're at. But I know that God is working. I know that God is challenging his church in general, in large, that it's time we step up. It's time that we do things differently. And I'm not saying, let me be very, very clear on something. I'm not saying that everything in the church world is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I hear the Lord calling and say there's more. There's more. It's not that everything is bad, but the Holy Spirit said, "I've got so much more for you." But if you'd ever experience that, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. And it will be different for every one of you. I would no way try to put any model, any scope of anything on you. And I want you to know that up front. I believe the Holy Spirit to speak to you. For whatever he says to you, let him do it. Father, we love you. You're amazing. How can we not praise you? How can we not worship you? You've been so good to us when we didn't deserve it. And Father, I just believe you're... a hand of leading is here this morning to guide us, that we would go even deeper, further into what you're wanting to do for our lives. So, Father, I just praise you. Holy Spirit, this is your house. We're your people. And you just do what you want to do. Let the manifestation of the Spirit be alive and real in the house today. We give you the praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tell the person next to you, get out of the boat. Tell them, get out of the boat. I love the word. I love what the word says, how it says what it says. Phraseology, terminology, words are so important. This scripture that I read this morning is, prior to it, is the feeding of the 5,000, one of the greatest miracles of the word. We know through the feeding the 5,000, Jesus tell them, you don't send the people away. You do what? The works of the Lord. You perform the miracle. You do it. And so how can we do that, Jesus? We only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You ever feel like you don't have enough? God demands you've said, Lord, this is all I got. And God said, well, at least you got something. God can work with something. And so they took up the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and it was the 12 baskets that was left over from that. This miracle, what really amazed me is I really begin to look at it. I figure out that I read things too fast. I get too big of a hurry and I miss the context of what God is wanting me to see. No more than have they grabbed up 12 baskets of fragments that are remaining, Jesus decides, I'm going to change direction. I'm going to change it. I'm going to move it. This miracle is hardly over with. Jesus didn't say, well, we're going to set up camp here for 3 days and we're going to have a crusade and we're going to send the word out into the community. That's what a lot of people would have done, but Jesus didn't do that. There is a sense, there is something happens that's got to take place. There was more to be accomplished. There was other places they need to be. Holy Spirit will turn sometimes on a dime in your life. And never give you heads up. He will never give you warning, but he will turn on a dime. But there was, and here's what the word said, the verbiage, and immediately. They'd taken up these baskets. The disciples were being responsible. Everything was happening. But this moment that was so important, that the right decisions, the right things have to be made, and they have to do the right places. And Jesus says, let's go. Well, what do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean, let's go? We're just getting comfortable in this. It's just getting started. But Jesus seems to have a particular sense of time, and there is an urgency. There is something that is happening that is not being seen to the eye that is going on here. And he's rushing them away from the scene. See, God closes one door in your life so that he can open another door. God will abruptly shut down one season that he can move you into another season. I mean, they're sitting here, this miracle is like, no, Lord, I want to just relish in the moment. I want to just sit around here and just enjoy and reminisce about what you've done. But see, there's no debate. Jesus is not entertaining anything. If they didn't move now, then maybe something would be missed. He said, immediately. They've taken these baskets and Lord, it's all working. Everybody's happy and everybody's good. But he says, immediately, they were like, Jesus, we still got some unfinished business here. We still got some things to do. We still got some. There's crowds to manage. There's families. There's people to direct. And there's tables to be put up. There's trash to be gathered up. There's a lot of things because they can see that there is so much unfinished business. That there's follow-up. Jesus, don't you know we got to have a debriefing after we've had such a crusade right this and figure out. We need to figure out what we did right. Let's figure out what we did wrong. That's how we do, right? Jesus said immediately. The second that this miracle had happened, it was over. But here's what the word said. But he compelled them. King James says compel. But he insisted. Literally what the word says. And he made them. In other words, he got forceful in his conversation with them that this was not something of their choosing. This was not something that they decided, well, we think we want to do this. We'll have a committee vote and vote how we're going to go. It was just a very immediate. And Jesus insisted. He said, no, I'm not mincing words with you. Right now, do it. Anytime you begin to hear that, you better start paying attention. Jesus knew that they needed a lesson in faith that accolades couldn't do for them. They've been in the season of revival and miracles, but there's some things that you need a lesson in that only faith can teach you, that the accolades of people that are around you will never have the ability to do that. But here's what I think. Jesus knew there was an approaching storm that the disciples needed. I sometimes don't even like to preach this because it applies to me too, because sometimes the Lord knows I need to go through a storm. I don't even see it. I don't even know it's coming, but he knows and he's insisting, oh, Pastor, you need to do this. You need to move. Go over here. Do this. Do this. Do that. And I begin, Lord, just take it easy. You're overloading me with what I've had. And Jesus said, get in the boat. Get in the boat. Get over here. Get in it. You've got to do this. But here's what it would do. This storm that they would do, it would bring them to a new level of faith and revelation that nothing else could bring into their life. I'm telling you, for some of you here, God is wanting to bring you to a new place of revelation and faith in your life that only a storm is able to produce in your life. You can sit around and shout, glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and you're just enjoying it. But when the storm comes, it changes things. When the storm comes, it changes how you react. It changes what you do. Do you know that the Holy Spirit has a way of changing your course even when you don't want it? Is anybody else identifying with me this morning? Lord, no. I like where I was at. I'm much easier to get along with if you'll leave me right here. You're the same way. But he don't want. Do you know God will move you out of a place even if you think you still have unfinished business? God will change your. And here's what's so bad about it. He won't even ask you, can he do it? He just says, I'm going to abruptly change what is happening. And he's like, but Lord, when you gave me the original word, it was this and it was that and it was this. But the Lord said, no, now is the time to change. Now is the time to do. See, a storm can work things in your life that a miracle can't. Oh, I'm preaching to you this morning. The storm has the ability to work things at you that a miracle atmosphere cannot do for you in your life. And I want you to know this morning, God is interested in Generation Church being the church that He wants it to be. God is interested in you being the Christian that He wants you to be. And He says, if you need a storm, let me send a storm to their life. Let me send a storm to Generation Church. Let me send a storm to everybody that is here. Because here's what He knows. I want to work the works of the kingdom in your life. And sometimes it takes a storm to do it. And so He's beginning to move them. The Holy Spirit is changing their course. See, they were enjoying the miracle atmosphere. It was good. But a storm can change things. Learn not to always dread the storms of your life. Learn not to look at it and say, oh God, why is this? But why don't you learn to say, God, I embrace what you're doing in my life. See, you don't always get to choose where God is leading you. He's beginning to herd them. 12 men, go, get in the boat, get in the boat. Cast over, we're going to go, we're going to do these other things. See, sometimes it is away from what you enjoy that you get into the boat is. It's not what you want to do. It's not always there. See, sometimes it's away from what the things that you love in your life, and you're headed into a storm with 11 other people that you particularly don't want to be on the boat with. I'm like, Lord, at least give me good company. Is anybody else ever? I'm just preaching to you real this morning. Lord, if you're going to put me in this mess, put me with somebody I like. And He sticks him in the boat with 11 other. Lord, I'm not enjoying it. You took away what I liked, and now then you got me with a lot of other people that I don't particularly care to be around. That's all I'm around. But Lord, would you please do something different? See, here's what He did. He had to start movement in their life. What was waiting on them, there was a new assignment that was waiting on them that could not be accomplished in the present location that they was at. God will move your location because He's got a different assignment. He's got a different thing that needs to take place in your life. And He's got to move you from where you're at to where you need to be, even though you don't know it. Even though you're not aware of it. You say, Lord, I was happy right here. But God says, but I want more out of you. I want to do more in your life than you ever had to do. But what they had to do, they had to start movement to the other side. See, some of you, God has already been moving, but it's because you got purpose. You've been stepping back and saying, okay, God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this, Father? Didn't you know I enjoyed the job that I was in? Don't you know I enjoyed this thing? But God says, I've got a purpose. I want every one of you here to know this morning, there is a deeper purpose in your life than you absolutely understand. God is wanting to do more with you, use you like you've never been used, but you've got to understand some days you pray, God, use me. Okay, God says, then I'm going to move you. I'm going to do these different things in your life. See, here's what He was basically telling the disciples. Quit complaining and get in the ship. Sometimes we just need a word like that. Some of you have been praying, God, move me, and God moves you. Then you complain about it. And God says, I'm just doing what you asked me to do. You told me to do something. Right now, you're like, oh, God, I didn't want that. Jesus told the disciples, guys, don't worry about it. I'll tie up the loose ends. I want to tell you something. Every loose end you think you've got in your life that you don't understand the movement of, my God's able to tie up your loose ends. When you think that it's dependent on you being there, I want to tell you this morning, I think some of us have overrated ourselves. Our Father is able to tie up every loose end that there is. He will not leave anything undone that needs to be done. And somebody needs to hear that this morning. God might be trying to move you and change some things in your life. Listen, let me tell you something. God is able to handle the present situation you're dealing with. You just follow Him and go to where He tells you to go. He can tie it up. In the meantime, the storm is brewing. I like saying that. In the meantime, a storm is brewing. He sends the people away. And once he gets all the business wrapped up, he goes up into the mountain and says he begins to pray. He prays until he hears a word from the Lord, everything he needs to. And after he finished to go pray, he's up there on the mountain fellowshipping with the Father. But I mean, it's a different story for the disciples. They're in the middle of the sea. Their life is different from what Jesus is right now. See, they're trying to go to the other side, but they've been met by opposition. They've been met by a storm. And God has spoken to many of you, say, go, do. And you've questioned, God, have I heard you? Because the very second thing that when you begin to launch out, when you begin to take that step of faith, you was met by a storm. And you think because you're met by a storm that God, I missed you. Did I not hear something right? Did you not give me all the details? Can I tell you this that I've learned in 61 years of living? God is not going to give you all the details. Because if he gave you the details, you'll never get in the boat. Why would I get in a boat to go meet a storm? I won't. So that's why he does it, tells us that. And so they're there. Ever notice every time you move out for God, everything goes crazy? Listen, every time I made a move for God, it'd go sideways on you. People have the tendency to break out stupid on you. Your kids go nuts. I mean, you get fired from your job. You get laid off. You get the pink slip. Everything goes. If you could imagine it, it begins to happen in your life. But every time you get a word from God, yes, Lord. I mean, you're shouting here on Sunday morning, and by Monday morning, it's like, oh, God. Because it's already kicked in. And that's the reality of where we're doing it. And that's what it was happening. Listen, 6 hours prior to this scripture right here, they was watching Jesus break bread and feed 5,000 people. And now they're in the middle of the storm wondering, am I going to be destroyed? 6 hours difference. That's how quickly your life can change. That's how quickly things can be different for you. But I want you to know this morning that God is in control of it. And I love different versions of how they describe this event. One of the versions said the disciples were in trouble far away from land. You ever felt in trouble far away from land? Lord, I'm in trouble and there is no help in sight. You ever got your car on gas and you wouldn't pay attention and it says, fuel level low? And you know there's not a gas station around, and cell phone don't work. You're in a fix. That's what these guys were. Here's what one of them said. The boat was taking a beating. I can identify with that. There's times in my life that Lord, I moved out for you. My boat's taking a beating. And Lord, why did you put me out here? I don't like it. And they're in the middle of the sea, and the boat is taking a beating. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, there's going to be people sitting in Generation Church this morning, and their boat is taking a beating. They're far away from land, and they don't see any hope. But I'm come to comfort you this morning and tell you, my God's still in control of every storm that will ever come onto this earth. He's got you under control, and you don't have to fret and worry about it. It said, and the boat was battered by the waves. And I wrote this down, no matter how you describe it, it was no fun to be there. You put any words to it, whatever the vernacular you want to know. See, you know how it is. Here's what happened to him. You've left the safety of where you were to be stuck in the middle of a storm. That's what has happened to you. You're now presently in the sea and you're going absolutely nowhere. And here's what complicates the dilemma in your life. You've gone too far to turn back. Lord, it always happens this. I'm stuck in the middle. Going back is not an option, but you know what, Lord? I don't know what lies in front of me. I know I've already been through a lot of things. I know there's already a lot of things that have happened to me and to me. But Lord, I still don't know what's in front of me out there. Lord, what am I going to do? I'm in the middle. I'm caught between a straight. As the old timers say, I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. I don't know where I'm going. See, things are not going my way. And Lord, I'm taking a beating and I don't like it. And it's a bad place for me to be in. And to cap it all off, the disciples, they've been rowing all night and now they're wore out. And they still got a long way to go. And can I tell you, can I be very honest with you? That is very depressing. That is very disheartening. That is discouragement. That 101 in your life, because you sit there and you see it, and it doesn't matter what your options are. There are no good options to be in that place. And the disciples didn't have a good option. They're sitting there, God, you've told me to be out here. I'm out here. And Lord, what am I going to do now that I'm out here? Their minds, listen to this. Their minds are so messed up that when Jesus shows up, they can't identify him. Whew. The storm has got so big and it's got everything and they've lost their faith and they've lost everything else that when Jesus shows up walking on the sea, they don't know it's him. They can't see it. And that's where so many people get, that they allow the storms of life to so mess them up, and they've had an experience. Listen, they just come out of a miracle 6 hours early, watching Jesus break bread, knowing he's the Son of God. And now then when he comes walking up, things are so tough, they can't identify who he is. It's a bad place to be in. You've got to be careful. Here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You've got to be careful that you don't get so involved in your storms that you miss Jesus when he shows up. And that's what happens to so many of us. We get so worried about the storm and everything that's happened that when Jesus shows up, we still keep crying, Jesus, where you at? He's like, I'm right here. Jesus, where you at? I'm right here. The problem is we've allowed the storms to distort our vision and the things that we see. And Jesus is showing up, and he said, I've got it all under control. And we're still just all worried about everything that's going on. And I want you to know this morning, Jesus will never leave you. But here's what's happened to them. They revert to religion and superstition. Because they're saying, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. But it wasn't. Because they reverted back to the things that they knew in their life. See, they see Jesus walking on the water, and they're terrified, and they cry out in fear. It's a ghost. That is that religious spirit. That is that superstition that is coming about in. By now, they have completely forgotten about the miracle they have experienced, and they've lost the vision of where they're going. And if you're not careful, that's what will happen to you when you get in a storm. I want to tell you that we're going to face storms in 2024, that we got to be careful that we don't lose our vision of where we're going. That we don't lose our vision of who God is. And the media right now is trying to play into everything to get you to discredit everything that it is around you. But can I tell you, I might be in the middle of the storm, but I know the way maker is what I know. I know the one that is walking on the water. I know the one that has proven himself to me time and time again. And I'm saying, Lord, help me to identify when you show up in the middle of my storm, that I don't lose heart, that I don't throw in the towel, that I say, God, all things are possible through you. By now, Jesus hears their cries. He calls out to them, have courage, don't be afraid. Have courage. Have courage, don't be afraid. Anytime you're in the middle of a trial in your life, that will always be the first word the Lord will say to you. Have courage and don't be afraid. It's not going to be, this is the way out, do this, do that. It'll be, have courage and don't be afraid. You know why? Because if you don't have courage and if you're not afraid, you'll miss the point of the battle. Hear what I'm saying. I know this is different this morning, but here's what I believe God's getting us prepared. I believe he's getting some of you ready. I believe some of you are getting ready to get out of a comfort zone in your life. But you've got to understand that God's got all this under control. And every time something is going to go south on you, Jesus is going to always, the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead you place in where have comfort. Don't be afraid. Have courage. Because if you do, you have to have the fortitude to stay in the battle. And he's telling them, can I tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you're going through. But here's where I want you to start thinking. It was the storm that created the pathway for Jesus to get to them. It was the storm that created the way. I want some of you to know here this morning that the storm that you're involved in right now, it is not going to destroy you. I know you're sitting and looking, oh my God, this is terrible, it's bad. But I've come in here by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit to tell you that storm, the devil don't know what he's doing. He don't realize that he's laying a super highway to you through the storm that is happening in your life. And you might be going through a storm, but I'm telling you, if you're in the middle of a storm right now, start looking for a highway, because the Holy Ghost is about to show up for you, and he's about to do some things in your life, and all that storm is doing is creating a pathway from the Holy Spirit straight to your house and do exactly what you need in your life. Somebody should praise him. All 12 hear the same thing. All 12 hear what Jesus says. Not one of them does it hear the same thing. The fact is, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record this instance, but only Matthew records the instance of Peter walking on the water. Peter hears Jesus, but Peter's willing to get out of his comfort zone. But I want you to know something, I've never seen this. Peter was measured on how he got out of the comfort zone. He says, Jesus, if it's really you, I'm not going to go out here for just some crazy thing. I'm not going to just go out here because of something I think. I'm not going to go out here just because it sounds like a good idea. I'm not going to go out here because I call 1-800-PROPHET. Somebody gave me a word, and it's kind of crazy. Hey, man, preaching good, Pastor. Peter says, Jesus, if it's really you, I'll walk out there. If it's really you, if it's really you that is coming out there, I'll do it. I'll get out of my comfort zone to be in your presence. I'm willing to step out of the things that I don't understand. But if it means being next to you and you're on the water, I want to be where you're at. See, that's what getting out of the comfort zone is about. It's not about saying, well, I'm just a radical. Listen, there's a lot of dead radicals. You need to be a radical because it's what the Lord is calling you to be. And so he began to step out and he began to understand, I'll get out of my comfort zone, but I'm not going to be dumb about it. Amen. This is where the rubber meets the road. I'm not going to be dumb about it, Jesus. I'm not going to be there. I'll not lock you out if you're not out there. If you're not out there, I'm not coming out of this boat. I'm going to stick myself right here, right this moment, and I'm not moving. Kind of like Moses said, Lord, we'll go up, but you've got to go with us. Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. If it means me getting out of my comfort zone, if it means me holding things dear to my life, Lord, I'll drop every one of them. But you've got to be out there. I've got to know that you are out there. I'm not just going to jump out and say, well, I sunk and Jesus wasn't out there. I want you to know this morning, that's not what God expects you to. He doesn't expect blind faith. He expects real faith in your life. And there's too many people got this bunch of stupid blind faith. And they say, well, I'm just going to jump out there and see what Jesus does. Good luck. I'm not coming. Yon, yon. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what Peter was saying to him. Jesus, if it's you, here's what he said. Bid me to come. I need a word to do that. I need to hear a word from you, Lord. I'm not going to just do it. It's a good idea. It's a good thought, Lord. I want to come out there where you're at, but I'm not just going to jump out on a whim in my life on just something that sounds good. And Peter didn't just jump into the water. Here's what bid, literally this word bid, it means tell me to come out there. Order me. I'm here in this boat and Lord, I don't like it, but it's working. And if I get out there, I don't know if it's going to work. So if you order me to come out there, I'll come out. See, this is the place we got to get back to healthy Christianity. We've had every little Tom, Dick, and Harry come along and give, you. I think you need to do this. I think you need to do that. I need a word from the Lord. Lord, before I launch out, before I do it, before I started Generation Church, listen, I had to have several words. It wasn't just one word. It's like, Lord, I need to hear from you because I thought I knew what I was getting into. I didn't. You're right, I wouldn't have done it. But I'm so glad now I did. I'm so glad I did. Bid me, command me. See, Peter had seen Jesus command things. He saw Jesus walk up to a tree one day and was looking for fruit on it. And Jesus said, I command you never to have fruit again. It died. He understand. He had a relationship. He understood that he walked up with a man with a withered hand. And he said, put that hand out there. And when he did, that hand was made whole. He understood that he commanded blinded eyes to be opened. He understood that when he walked up to the little widow woman of Nain and he walked to Lazarus' tomb and he said, I command you, come forth. And he come out. He understood at the command of God, there is absolutely that will, nothing will be impossible for your life. And I've come by here to tell somebody this morning, if you'll get a command from God, anything is possible. Possible in your life. If he's got to change the earth for your direction, he will do it for you today. Amen. Commanded the devils to leave. He knew he had that. But he commanded nature. What is Peter facing? Nature. Lord, I can do it. If Jesus can do all of that, then surely I can walk on water where he's walking. Surely I can do the same thing that he's doing. But with Jesus' help, it will cause it to be what it needs to be. But see, here's what I begin to think. I don't know if Peter was really expecting a reply. But he got one. Have you ever said something you regretted saying? Lord, I'll do it. Really? Come on. That's where some of you at this morning. You're talking big. We do that a lot. We get in place. We talk big. Yeah, God, I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do that. And then here's what happened. I don't think Peter really expected him here to say, come on out here. What? I mean, did I hear you right, Lord? Did I really hear what you did? Did you really just tell me to come on out there? Because I said it, but I didn't really mean it. You know what he would do? He was sounding good to 11 others in the boat, wouldn't he? That's what a bunch of you do. You talk a good smack when everybody else is around. and you get along with Jesus, he said, hey, come on out. No, Lord. He said one word. He said, come. Sometimes God only gives you one word. But he'll give you a word if you're serious with him and what you're talking about. Peter said, Peter, he got that reply. But here's what Jesus was saying to Peter. There's got to be action on your part. There's got to be action on your part. You've got to do something. You ask Jesus, he replied. So can I tell you this? Don't complain when he talks to you. Because a lot of times he's going to say things that you don't want to hear. See, and here's what happens. Now it's up to you. Now it's up to you. Everything is lined up exactly the way you pray. Oh, God, line this up, line that up, line this, make this happen. And God does every bit of it. Now what you going to do? That's where it comes out. What you going to do? That's the place I believe the Lord is bringing so many of us. See, some of you have been asking, you said, Lord, I won't change. I need things to be done. God, I want you to do something. It begins by you getting out of the comfort zone. It begins by you getting out of the place of safety. It begins to get out of the place where you are able to control everything in your life. You're able to do every little thing, and you're a micromanager that, God, if I don't get it right, it's never going to happen. But see, here, let me tell you this fact. Jesus was not going to come up to Peter and snatch him out of the boat. Some of you saying, Lord, I'll do it if you'll come get me out. It's not going to happen. It's still called a step of faith. It's still called, you've got to move in faith of what God says to do. And he wasn't going to come up there, okay, Peter, I really want you to do this, so let's just snatch you up and throw you in the water and see if you can swim. It wasn't what he was going to do. It begins by you leaving. Here's what Peter had to do. I'll do this little thing right here. I hope you can put it back and get up here. Peter had to sit on the side of the boat. He had to get himself there. He had to get his legs over. Wasn't nobody doing it for him. You know what? Peter had to crawl out there. Some of you, the Holy Spirit is asking you to crawl out on a limb. Oh, but Lord, I want a miracle. You willing to come out on a limb? Peter, how are you going to get in the water? You got to dangle your feet over. There's not 11 other disciples going to pick you up and throw you in and say, well, we heard you say we're going to just help you do it. Peter, you got to do it for yourself. Some of you sitting here, and this is why I felt the Holy Spirit really zone in on me, that you got to dangle your legs over the boat. You've got to be the one that says, okay, Lord, I heard the word. Now then, there's an action that's on your part that you've got to begin to do. Peter had to put his hand on the knotted rope and to allow himself to be lowered down into the water. Peter had to hear the wind blowing and the waves blowing and feeling the splashing of it. And here's what he's doing. Every step that he's going, he's got to do it. He's got to make the choice. He's got to do it. See, Jesus will call you to take a step in the middle of your storm. Well, Lord, I'll walk on water if it's 2 foot deep. He's got a way of getting you out in the middle of the sea to where you know there's no hope. And this is where Peter is at. He's got to do all that. And he had to start lowering himself into the sea. And listen, the storm was still in full fury. I mean, the Lord began to open this up because I know that some of your lives right now, you got fury right here, and you got it bad right here, and you got it tough right here. Okay, Lord, if you'll settle this down, I'll do it. Can I tell you, God has not called you to be a fair-weather Christian. He's called you to step out in the middle of a storm when it doesn't make sense, but you've heard a word from the Lord, and God has already told you, he's promised you, if you'll step out, I'll do this in your life. So go ahead and get your leg over the side of the boat and say, hang on, Jesus. I'm coming out there where you are at, and I'm going to allow the miracle to happen in my life. But you've got to do something about it. I mean, we used to get in trouble in school and we'd say, I'll go if you'll go. It's called culprits in crime. I'll do it if you do it. Sometimes that's not an option in the spirit realm. You just got to do it. Don't care what anybody else does. You've just been called to do that. The command, listen to what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The command of Jesus is greater than the wind and the waves that you're seeing. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit can speak to you so strongly that in the face of everything that you see, you still can't help but move for the Lord? Because that command is so real in your life that you got to step out, you got to move, you got to do it. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. God said, I have spoken to you a word. I've given you a word. I've lined everything up that you need. Fact is, I give you a little knotted rope. You didn't have to jump. I let you lower yourself down to that water, and he's made everything possible. But the command that Jesus has given you is greater than the storm that you're facing. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit, here's what I said. He's getting you out of the boat without a life jacket. I like life jackets. in deep water. Sometimes God won't let you do it. It's trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Y'all remember that old song? That's where he had them at. Peter, oh, go ahead and come. Peter walked on the water as long as his focus was on Jesus. He scurried out of that little boat. I was going to bring a boat here this morning, but we didn't have enough space. Scurried out of that little boat, got down, started walking, doing the impossible. I'm sure there's 11 others like, But he's sitting there, he's doing what can't. But here's what happened to him. When he began to focus on his present circumstance, he began to sink. He began to sink because he started focusing on this circumstance. See, here's what happened. God doesn't ask you to deny your circumstances. That's where we get messed up. We think, oh, I just got to say it's not real. Listen, the wave is real. The storm is real. The rocking of the boat is real. But more real than that is the Savior that calls you out. He didn't deny his circumstances, but he walked anyway. And that's where the Holy Spirit is calling some of you this morning. He's not asking you to deny your circumstance. He's not coming to you and say, well, don't just pretend it's not happening. Listen, you can be in a storm that you can't pretend. You've been in a place in your life that I don't care how many people say, oh, just confess it, just confess. It doesn't change the reality that you're in a mess, that your boat is being beaten by the waves, and you're a long way from land, you can't see how to get there. It doesn't change that reality. I don't care how much you stick your head in the sand and say it's not real. I'm sorry to tell you this morning, it is real. It's real. Don't allow. These are the things the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit right here. Don't allow what you see to stop what God has promised. Don't allow what you see. I didn't say you were denying it. I don't like that hyper junk, just denying it's not real. He saw the strong wind. He saw the waves. It was real. But he allowed his focus to be taken off of Jesus. And he began to look at the waves, and the waves says, you can't be doing this. Spirit of fear come upon his life. You can't be doing this. Humanity doesn't walk on water. What do you think you're doing? And he allowed the circumstances. The wind was blowing, the breath, the waves were beating. But can I tell you this? I want you to notice something the Lord said to me. He's walking in the very same circumstance that he was when he stepped out of the boat. He did consider it then, but now then that he's actually doing it, he started to consider it. It is so easy sometimes to hear the word from the Lord, God, this is what you want me to do. And I just step out and do it, and then I start thinking about it. Did I just do that? The conditions hadn't changed. Some of you, your condition are not going to change, but God's going to allow you to walk on top of the storm that is taking you down. When he stepped out of the boat, it was still wind was blowing, waves were still beating on it. They were still afraid and all this stuff. Not one condition had changed. But yet still he's walking on the water. There's some of you, if you'll step out of that place, out of that safety zone in your life, God is going to allow you to walk on the storms that are taking you down. Can I tell you this? God is still faithful and will do what he said. Here's another place the Holy Spirit said, because you step out, because you step out don't mean all things will change immediately. Lord, when I get my foot over that boat, would you please let the wind stop blowing? Help a guy out. Cause the waters to settle down. Lord, I'm taking a step of faith. Yeah, I know. Get in the water. Let the wind slap you in the hair. Let it blow you. Let the water splash up on you. Because you're walking in faith. You're walking where other people refuse to walk at. It doesn't mean just because you're willing to take that step. Because we do it under this false sense of, well, I'm just going to do this, God. You're going to change everything. Sometimes he just lets you to walk over the storm. But Jesus was there, and he began to focus on everything, and he began to cry out. He saw everything around him. Jesus, I'm failing. And he reaches and catches him and grabs him back up. But you know what he had to do? He had to walk on water to get back to the boat. All Jesus did was get him by the hand. He said, now then, let's walk together back. It wasn't just immediately they was at the boat. It wasn't when Jesus got him by the hand. I mean, I probably preached this passage. Jesus got by the hand and the storm quit. It didn't. You know why? Because I read the rest of the story. The storm never stopped until they got back in the boat. Read it. We want to change. We want everything to be there. And the Lord said, it don't always do it. But I'm still faithful. I'm still there with you all the way through everything you're going to go through. It doesn't matter what it is. If you step out, and I'm going to tell you, and somebody needs to know that. Go ahead and stand with me. Somebody needs to know this morning. If you're willing to get out of your comfort zone, and maybe you, listen, if you're like me, once you take the step of faith, maybe you don't do everything right. Can we be that real this morning? Maybe I don't get it all right. But can I tell you, my Lord will not abandon you. He'll come along beside you and pick you up and help you say, come on. You was never out there by yourself alone anyway. I've always been here. I was the one that called you out. I was the one that called you forth. I was the one to call you to get out of your comfort zone. Yeah, Peter, you was in a big old ship right there. But I said, come and I'll hold you up. I want somebody to know this morning that you can take a step of faith. You better, let me say this to you, you better have a word from the Lord. You better have a promise in the book. Because that's all that you can sustain on. But I want you to know today that my God will not leave you. I don't care how big the step is. I don't care what you're going through. God will not abandon you in the middle of your storm. If you've taken that step for Him, He said, I'll be right there with you. I'm not going to do this. See, I feel like the Holy Spirit is sending a word this morning. I think He's sending a word to somebody else again. This is not the first time. And He's saying it's time to get out of the comfort zone. I don't know what your comfort zone is. But I know how easy it is just to want to kick back and take it easy. Lord, just would you let me enjoy the moment? And immediately He moves you. But I'm telling you, it's for your benefit. It's for your sake. Every head bowed across this building. Pastor, I need to get out of this safety zone. I need to trust the Lord to handle a situation. I'm in the middle of a storm. I'm in the middle of a battle. My ship's in trouble. Waves are beating on me. If that's you and you know the Holy Spirit's been speaking, I want to see your hand right now, Pastor.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's message from Generation Church, North Georgia. Please stay connected with us by subscribing to our podcast and help us to spread the good news of Jesus by sharing today's message with your friends. You can also connect with us on social media via Facebook or Instagram. Until next time, God bless.